Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A boring episode of Monday Night Raw. I'm watching it the whole 3 hours and not a single released NXT star debuts on it. I didn't miss anything, did I, Andy?
No, I was disgusted and I hate Triple H.
So Dexter Lumis came back. Sorry, my mic is
stiff. Come on.
We can do this.
Twist. And pull.
I just move it that way.
Yeah.
I think it's that Sat Imiangi. It's been all over my mic. There we go. Hello and welcome to the WWE Raw Review. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Andy Datsun. Please give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below. Press the thumbs up button. But most importantly, get in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll be reading out every single one of them over $5 before the end of the show. Mm. Now, this episode of Raw, we'll get into it, I think was actually a little bit boring.
Yeah, not a lot happened. There were some fine matches. But I think because of the optimism we had last week, I was expecting maybe a bit more, but it actually felt like just a normal, okay episode of Raw in general.
What it felt like to me was, and you get this all the time back in the original one-hour NXT episodes, takeovers, incredible. Mm-hmm. A lot of the TV, you know, you're like, when's the big stuff going to happen? So that's how I experienced this episode of Raw. But I must admit, I have never experienced what happened afterwards. Mm. It's like the aftertaste of the show made me appreciate the whole thing far more than I could ever have realised.
Yeah, so Ollie came into the office this morning and sort of said, it was quite a boring episode, but then I realised what actually happened, and then I thought it was great. It was the best episode all year.
I don't think it's the best episode all year. I think last week's was more enjoyable for me. But you know, we're always learning here. Mm-hmm. What works, what doesn't work. Wrestling isn't a fixed medium. It's something that's always evolving. And what happened on this episode was so different to what I've been used to on the main roster. And, you know, to an extent, AEW as well. Yeah. That it surprised me so much that I almost respect it. I respect the small thing they did so much. It made me like the whole episode, like, infinitely more.
Yeah, it was really nice and subtle. Obviously, we'll explain what we're talking about in a second, but it was really subtly done, just in the background. They didn't draw attention to it. And I think that's why I appreciate it more, because they didn't have Michael Cole or whoever, Corey Graves, going, oh, what's that car doing? Why is there a car crashed in the background? Like, it was never actually referenced. And even at the end, when he turned up, they were like, oh, is that... I think I heard one of them go, is that Dexter Lumis?
Yeah. Yeah, but like in such a mumbled way. So here's what happened. The first part I saw of this was about an hour and a bit into the show. Kevin Owens is backstage after he'd squashed Ezekiel, and Kevin Patrick's interviewing him, and Owens cuts a promo on how he's going to rejuvenate his character. To be honest, I was looking at that so much, so excited for the new KO, or the old KO, I missed a crashed car in the background.
Yes, with, for whatever reason, Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. standing there kind of,
oh no.
What's happened?
What's happened? I can't believe it. I crashed my car into the wall. Or who's crashed it?
But yeah, I really... Did you notice it on first watch?
Only because I knew that it had happened.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that would be more obvious.
Because, probably peeling back the curtain, I woke up and forgot that I was reviewing Raw today. And so I'd already looked at WrestleTalk.com and seen that this had happened. So I was like, oh, okay, well, there's a car crash and then there's this and that, and then the AMT's running in through the back. So I knew it was coming, so I knew to look out for it, but I still appreciated it, even though I knew it was coming, because, like I say, they didn't draw attention to the fact. It was just, this happens to be happening in the background, and you, when you saw it, I think, did you say that you were like, oh, I generally thought that something had happened, and that they just had chosen an unfortunate place to do this interview?
It didn't even register with me. On that particular one, I thought that was... I missed the car in the background because I was so excited for Owens. Then there was... I think the next one was the bit I noticed.
Yeah.
And that was you had a promo with Mickey A.S.H. and Doudrop. And then it cut locations to the car park again. And it was Alexa Bliss and Asuka doing their promo. And behind them, still there's some hubbub, but there's always some people in the background of these shots. And Bailey, Io Kai, and Dakota Sky turned up. I got those names perfectly there.
Well, Bailey got it wrong at one point, so.
And they turn up, and they start having a tete-a-tete with them. And then the people from the back sort of run forward, these nameless security guards, out of shot. And I was like, oh. And the way everybody sold it was like that wasn't meant to happen.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and the camera picks up AJ Styles walking in for his match, which was the main event. So I was like, again, oh, okay, well, that was, something's happened. I'll find out what it is afterwards.
Yeah.
But I'm not thinking it's a work at this point.
No, and it's actually, it's nice that it was actually a story, because I don't know this for sure, but I feel like if it had been, if Vince McMahon was trying to tell this story, there would have been a lot more... It would have been a lot less subtle, a lot more obvious. And you probably just would have seen Dexter Lumis just keep walking in the back of shots. Or Bailey would be doing a promo, and then they would walk off, and then you just have him in the background just staring.
He'd like come out of a cupboard.
Yeah. Or he'd be standing on the other side of the camera, and you go, well, he was there the entire time. How did you not notice him?
Yeah. He's Bailey leaves the shot, and then Dexter steps in and stares after her. You're like 3 feet away from each other. You would pick up on that in the peripherals. Anyway, that all happens. And then there's a main event. It's The Miz versus AJ Styles in an ODQ match. Didn't really do anything for me.
No.
And then AJ Styles wins. He's celebrating. And the cat, he just looks at something at ringside in the crowd, like near the front row. And there is just a hubbub of people and a dude with a hood on.
Yeah.
And then the camera came back to AJ and sort of went away from it. And I was like, oh, crap, it's like a fan's trying to run like that whole Seth Rollins thing. I didn't really pick up on Corey Graves because he mumbles. I've listened to it back since, but Corey Graves does go, is that Dexter?
Yeah.
Is that Dexter Lumis?
Yeah, and even the crowd, because I think they all didn't really know what was happening, because he had the hood up, and because, like, no one was referencing, AJ sort of looked at it, was like, what's going on over there? But he didn't actually do anything about it. So I think the crowd as well thought, but then the hood comes back, and then a few people go, oh my God, it's Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, it does get a big pop. Like, when I watched it back afterwards, the hood comes up, he's pulled back, he's quite a way away, but you can see it is Dexter Lumis's face. I wouldn't have known that without...
No, and I... So,
Mayor, the crowd popped
Mayor of Painesville Dan, as we know, is... Dexter Lumis is one of his favourite wrestlers, and he is particularly excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
So the first news of this, because I think last week he did an interview, and said, oh, I'm still in contact with Triple H and Shawn Michaels a lot. We get on very well. And then yesterday, Shawn, as usual, reported on Fightful Select that they were thinking, or they were at least sort of, there was at least plans in place to maybe reach out to Dexter Lumis. And as we saw on Friday when Shawn said, oh, they might be reaching out to Karrion Kross, Dexter Lumis returns a few hours later. And I know Dan's very excited about this. And I think people are very excited about it because it looks like they are returning to the kind of serial killer, like stalker.
Psychopath.
Which is the gimmick he had when he first joined. And it's not the one that he last had, which was the kind of, I'm a bit weird, I'm a bit creepy, and I marry Indy Hartwell.
Yeah. As fun as that wedding was, that's not the best version of him.
No, and I did message Dan to say, what is it exactly that you like? And I don't know if he's actually replied. He hasn't, I'm afraid. But if we do get a reply from Dan, because while I get that it's an unusual and it's a sort of different gimmick for WWE, I don't get why he'd be so obsessed with him.
Yeah, so Dexter Lumis is a character. It's a great presentation. It's a great idea, but so was The Fiend. And the problem with The Fiend is as soon as you get a feud around him, it does not work well for the other person. It's very difficult to book The Fiend in an actual wrestling match. These are characters designed for movies.
Yes.
That's where my sort of standoffishness has been with Dexter Lumis usually, as I can't get into his matches.
Well, because the kind of the storyline is often, I'm scared of you. And then as soon as we have a match, the other person just had to spend the entire match being scared of the other person.
They're essentially babyface killers.
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins has never recovered from when The Fiend, he beat The Fiend in 2019. But I'm optimistic about Dexter Lumis, how they present him here, because I thought this initial way to debut him at all on the main roster, actually, was just inspired. Like, any criticism for Dexter Lumis, the character, I think we can hold off on until we see how they do present him. But this is a first way to do it. It's amazing.
Yeah. And there's got to be a reason as well that they picked him specifically, because there are so many people who were released over the last few years by the kind of Vince McMahon regime. But for them to be like, we want Karrion Kross, Dakota Kai, and we want Dex Lumis. They may well have reached out to other people and they've gone either yes or no, or yeah, I can do, but a bit later.
I can tell you why it's those people. Because they haven't gone to AEW yet.
True.
And they are legally available.
But there are still a lot of people who haven't gone to AEW yet.
So Johnny Gargano, obviously. I think he's coming in, though. There were a few teasers on this episode.
Yeah, there are loads.
But probably later.
Yeah.
Banks and Naomi. They're probably coming in later. But who else, really? Authors of Pain?
No, but I don't know. Like Braun Strowman.
Braun,
like
Fiend,
that.
Yeah, Nia Jax. Like,
there are a bunch of people who I would have... If you'd said, who are the first 10 people Triple H is going to sign? I think I probably would have got to Dex Lumis at about 57. Because I would have just gone through all the main roster guys who I am more kind of aware of. Like, I didn't really watch NXT when Dex Lumis was doing his thing, because it was really all in the NXT 2.0 era of stuff, which is when he slowly also became the more comedy character and just kind of a weirdo rather than an actual threat. So, good for him, but I don't
quite down on this. This is one of the best pieces of storytelling I've seen in years.
Good storytelling, but I just worry, it's like you say, it's going to become The Fiend where, like, oh, he wears black gloves and he's a bit creepy. And will he just end up being a creep and he just sort of follows female superstars around? Or, I mean, it feels like a very mid-card gimmick.
Most likely. But we're in uncharted waters. We don't know what's going to happen. Does that not make you excited?
No, it does. It does, but I'm just, like last week, I think we were very optimistic that Raw was going to be a completely different show. I don't think it is going to be a completely different show. I think it's going to have differences, and we've seen lots of differences, but I think generally this is a kind of episode of Raw that we should kind of get accustomed to, where it's got better storytelling and probably the average of match quality is higher. Mm.
The promo quality is higher.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm just being a bit wary because I don't know if this gimmick can ever really work in a like a week-to-week story-based TV show.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what everybody thinks on the Ultra Chat. Please do keep getting them in at wrestletalk.com/support. We've had one from the mayor of Painesville Dam.
Yes!
Is how he starts. The Dex Express is here. Dexter Lumis is back in WWE, and I could not be any happier. What a brilliant day. Thank you, Triple H. Three smiley face emoticons and the word love in big capital letters. I wish I could live with you guys, but I got to put family first today.
Well, good. I'm so glad, Dan, that one of your favourites is back. Dan's favourites are Goldust.
Yes.
Dexter Lumis and
Brian Myers. It's important to get that out, you know, because some people might not be really aware of Dexter Lumis. And you're like, oh, where does he fit? Is he a main eventer guy? I can see that in Karrion Kross with the Scarlet Bordeaux packaging. And like, okay, Dan likes him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, Dan loves underappreciated mid-carders.
Yes. It's a lot. Like, he has been really, really excited at the prospect of Dexter coming back. So I wish I could be that excited.
I'm happy for Dan.
Yes. Well done.
I would say, actually, on the whole, because I forgot to add it earlier, on the Sean reporting stuff, if I was to put my conspiracy hat on, that to me sounds like they're leaking stuff to get the news out there to drum up interest in the show.
Yeah.
So people watch the show because they think someone's going to
Well, I mean, Sean quite openly made reference to it yesterday, which is that the reason that he post saying I'm going to be having this news in about an hour is that if he posts it, because he needs to drum up a bit of interest in his reports, because at the moment he posts it, it's on Squared Circle and it's all over Twitter, and I think WWE knows that at this point. So Squared Circle has, I don't know, 500,000, obviously not going to reach that many people, but it's got 500,000 potential eyes on it, and then you've got Twitter and you've got Facebook, which within 5 minutes of Sean reporting it, it's going to be all over there. So, yeah, there may well be a little bit of that saying, oh, by the way, who is Sean's source? Oh, it's me. Okay, can you tell him this?
It's a fascinating way for wrestling to intersect with social media and really start working social media as opposed to what I feel like has been the case of playing catch up to social media for years and years and years. Because not only that, as a way to promote the show, but this was an angle to specifically drive people to find out what just happened.
Who was that?
That's the first thing I did. I went to Twitter. Mm. And very few things take me to Twitter because I don't like it as a place.
Yes.
But I went to Twitter to see what to see if anyone else had posted it. And they had. Mm. WWE had.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a big picture of Dexter Lumis's face being dragged out by police.
I can't believe he's here.
It's extraordinary stuff. Double L Liam Leonard says Dexter's storyline is so subtle at the start and that hasn't happened on Raw for a very long time. Another thing, I had my second match on Saturday. Shout out to Devon West for his help with the match. We'll send you a video as soon as I can.
Yes.
Jam that jam.
Do
awesome
it.
To hear. That's a good point. I was caught unaware by the subtlety.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't looking for the stuff in the background because that's not what WWE have done for 20 years.
No, well, unless it's a ginger guy who walks in the background and was like, is that Eric Rowan?
As a mistake.
Yeah. No, but so I feel like I've been a bit down on it. I really did appreciate the storytelling and the subtlety behind
it.
Sounds
like you hated it.
I'm just being cautious. But, like, yeah, no, it was really nice to see. Even, like I said, I knew that it all happened. But even then, I was like, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's really cool.
Hmm.
And I was able to, because you were focusing on something else, I was still surprised by it happening. So it wasn't like, oh, that's going to happen at some point. I didn't know exactly when it was going to come.
It's a level of storytelling, which I have considered beyond WWE.
Yes.
So it's nice they've caught up with most of quality television. Mm. Riot DR, hey yo. If I can get a pretty good wrestling show for the low bar, I'm quite happy. My brother noticed the car crash and the security running confused us. Everything came together when we saw Lumis being dragged away after the main event. This is fun. Marcel Arts says, super happy for my mate Dan Dexter returned. Marcel Arts is also German. My serious question, should I start watching Raw again? One of the reasons I quit was because with all the pacing and replays, it felt like wasted time. Is it overall more enjoyable? Apples.
There are still a lot of replays.
But nowhere near as many.
No.
I think the pacing issues have been... they're a lot better. They are still there, though. Give it a go. See what you think. And finally for now, Nina Gabner. People have always been fascinated with serial killers. Young girls got a kick out of going to Ted Bundy's trial, knowing he had killed over 100 young women. That fascination has become bigger with Netflix docs about killers. WWE is jumping on that trend.
Not to defend Ted Bundy, but he didn't kill nearly that many people.
It was considerably less.
It was about, I think it was like 14, 15,
yeah.
Which is still way too many.
Yeah. We're not saying anything like, but yes, you've attributed too many people to that serial killer.
Don't turn Ted Bundy into Ted Bundy. Don't turn Ted Bunting into something he isn't.
Yeah. But he's still a serial killer.
Yeah.
As prolific.
No. Yeah, don't give him credit for something he hasn't done.
Do you think we're going to get a true crime WWE Network series?
On Dexter Lumis. Only if he actually does something.
I think that's probably... You know, like how The Fiend arguably works better in a cinematic match style? Maybe Dexter Lumis in a sort of scripted reality
Here's
show?
Here's an idea. Dexter Lumis can have therapy for just weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And then he can get a doll.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could work.
Supernatural powers?
Yeah, supernatural powers where he can click and disappear. Mm.
Right, so keep on sending in your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 before the end of the show. Get in with the full play-by-play, which opened up with Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai. They came down. So that I don't think they're officially called Control yet, but they say Control a lot.
They have, but they have. At no point have I actually seen them because it feels like this is the sort of thing that WWE would post on social media, which is, oh, the Control are here, or they post a big picture of them and like they are the Control. That sort of not very subtle WWE stuff. But yeah, I think they're just. Kai and Sky, are they called Kai Sky now or something?
I think they're just called Io Sky and Dakota Kai.
Okay, so they haven't got a tag team name, but they are a tag team. But yeah.
Because I do feel like they're quite a disparate bunch of people. You know, like how the Riot Squad was a hodgepodge?
Yes.
I think you then need to do as much work as possible to make them feel more coherent.
Yeah, because they...
So give them a faction.
They are three ready-made singles stars. And so they aren't, I guess, not saying they're not natural tag team stars, but like 3 weeks ago before this all happened, if you said, oh, what you would never call any of those three people a tag team.
Yeah, if you pitch to me, oh, I'm going to put Bayley, Io Sky and Dakota Kai in a faction, I'd just go... Why?
Yeah, Io,
why are you doing
Io
that?
Guy, Sky is so
stars.
Good. Dakota Kai is so good. They don't need to do that. But I guess it's nice. It's nice that it's a faction. I think that maybe Triple H just thought that the way that Dakota Kai just disappeared off because she was released, Io Sky hasn't probably had the push with a lot of people expected in NXT. Obviously, she did win the title once, but to put them with Bayley, I think was still a smart idea.
It's a way to get them over using Bayley's star power. So they came out, they cut a promo on Becky and Bianca, effectively saying, well, the women's division's been a bit rubbish, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Becky wearing stupid costumes every week. We're back to bring hunger to the women's division. This was obviously not as scripted as usual. It felt so much better, as did all the promos on the show. And then Bayley said Dakota Sky.
Yes, and she said, I know I said Dakota. I know I said it wrong, you idiots. I knew you were going to correct me.
She recovered really well. She made it into a bit and just like turned that anger out on to the audience. Then Bianca Belair, Asuka and Alexa Bliss all turned up with their own separate entrances.
Yes.
And they said, we want to get a six person with you. And Bayley said, not in front of these douchebags. Let's have a fight, a clash at the castle. They brawled, and big pull apart, and that's the match
the
for the pay-per-view.
I don't think the crowd are very excited because it's not in America. Clash at the castle.
The crowd weren't great. This was a Cleveland crowd. I thought they were pretty quiet again, as was last week's.
Yeah. So here's a question, because I haven't watched Raw week in, week out. Why are Asuka and Alexa Bliss a tag team?
Because they were there.
So there is no storyline. Because I was looking at them thinking, is there something that I've missed that are like, oh, there was a story between the two and now they're best friends?
I can't remember. They were going to have a match at the start of last week's episode and they, you know, the control ran in and beat them both up and they teamed together.
Because yesterday there was all that tease, like Asuka posted a photo like, oh, who's my tag team partner going to be? And everyone's like, oh, is she speculating a new tag team partner? Because really, Alexa Bliss doesn't make any sense.
Should be Kairi Sane.
Yeah, but she's in Stardom. And so I thought that really was her going, oh, I'm going to get a new tag partner. Because in the piece I wrote, I was like, well, yeah, because it doesn't make any sense for these two people to be together. So I thought maybe they were having a fresh start. Yeah. But no, it was just Alexa. No.
So overall, I thought this was... It did progress the story in that they booked the six-person match for the pay-per-view. Now we can start to work towards that. You had a bit of action with the brawl. But overall, I thought this went on too long. It felt a bit robotic when everyone got their own entrances.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I didn't love this opening.
No, it was okay. It was okay. But I worry there is the thing where they're just lumping all the women into one feud.
I think this makes sense on this one. I don't think you can level the criticism that they're doing bad women's division booking here.
No, they're absolutely not. Yeah. But you worry that in the future. I'm just being worried as usual.
Why don't you live in the... Just enjoy the moment for a bit.
I can't. I live in the future, man.
Seth Rollins then took on Angelo Dawkins after he beat Montez Ford last week. This was a decent match. Not as good as last week's. I thought Montez Ford showed more fire, but Dawkins was good. He kept on dodging stomp attempts.
Yes.
But Seth used the pedigree put him away. And
who uses that?
Andy has a theory here.
I have a theory here. So last week...
Not an Austin theory.
Not an Austin
theory. He's nowhere
theory.
To be
well,
seen.
He's not even Austin anymore. Last week, Seth Rollins defeated Montez Ford with a stomp. He then went to do another stomp on Montez Ford. But before he could, Angelo Dawkins came out and saved him, which is great because that's what he should be doing. He saved him before another attack could happen after the bell, because he can't interfere during the match because that's illegal. However, at the first opportunity, he did. However, this week, Seth Rollins hits a pedigree, 1-2-3, wins the match. He then hits a stomp, and then only after that, when he goes for a second stomp, does Montez Ford come out. So that means that Montez Ford waited, kayfabe, for Seth Rollins to attack his friend again, which may not be anything, but it could be a little subtle sort of, hey, I saved you immediately. You only saved me when you realized I was getting attacked again.
It's definitely a wrinkle. I think there's something up here. They are obviously leaning into the idea that Ford is a bit of a hothead, a bit emotionally unstable. In this match, he was at ringside, and what did he do? He distracted Rollins at one point, and then Rollins said something to him, and Montez Ford just got a chair, got in the ring, went to hit Rollins, and the referee was like, no, you're going to have to be ejected. And yeah, because that's a heel move, Montez Ford. So yes, definitely something's up. After that, we got Edge apologizing to the Mysterios backstage because he accidentally speared Dominic last week.
Yes.
And Ray was like, that's all cool, bro. And Dominic said, well, why are you believing this guy over me? And Ray says,
I'm your son.
I've known Edge for years. He's a stand-up guy. He's never turned on me once. And Dominic's like, this sucks. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And he stormed out.
I'm really struggling with Dominic.
The acting's not great, but I like the story here. I thought it played into the match well.
It's fine, but also it was so obviously a mistake from Edge. And if Dominic has watched it back, he went, oh, fair enough, man.
He's emotional. He's acting out. He's like 16, isn't he?
I don't know. How old is he? 20? He said, I've known you for 25 years. Is he 25? Who knows?
I think he's early 20s.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. I just don't really... it's going to take a while for me to be sold on Dominic, I think.
Miz and Ciampa got a promo backstage. Ciampa dedicated his win to Harley Race.
Yes, which is an interesting thing to do when you're booked to lose.
Yeah. But it did. When he said that, I was like, oh man, he's going to win then.
Yeah.
So it's a little, I guess, a good bit of booking to add some unpredictability there.
Yeah.
Ezekiel is already in the ring. He didn't get an entrance.
Yes.
And Kevin Owens gets an entrance. He comes out. Bell rings. Owens goes right for him, throws him outside, throws him hard into the announcer's desk, and then pop-up powerbomb on the ring apron.
Which is what he used to do.
Not as a setup spot, not to throw him into the ring again. Kevin Owens just watched as a medical team came down and stretchered Ezekiel off.
But I guess it's just a... no finish because there was no bell. The referee didn't say stop. No, they ring the bell. I guess it's a no contest because it was so brutal. I miss that is a match ender because remember when it took Sami Zayn out for months because he got hit by that. So it's nice that they are it feels like they are returning. And if Kevin Owens is someone that what.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, poor Ezekiel.
Oh,
like,
right, yeah.
Finally coming back and then written off for a few months.
Well, what's his face? Elias can come back in a bit. Yeah.
That won't undermine this.
No, Kevin Owens is someone who I think is going to thrive under Triple H because he is a Triple H man, and I'm really excited to actually finally get proper Kevin Owens.
I would say he's one of the first... like success Triple H stories along with Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins still feels like a Shield success.
Yeah.
Owens, he was like the first guy from that super hot 2015 NXT, came up, had the stuff with Cena.
Yeah.
And then even when he became Universal Champion, that was Triple H pedigreeing Seth on Raw for Kevin Owens to win. This was all about Owens resetting his character. Later on, he also got a promo backstage, which is when we saw the crashed car, where he said, Ezekiel doesn't know who he is. I do. Mm. And I'm going to remind everyone, now there's more interest on this show, that this is the Kevin Owens show.
Yeah. No, really good.
So that, like I said in my review, the Loomis stuff was really well done. But this is actually the thing that's got me the most excited. Because while there's a question mark over where Loomis goes from here. Is that a good thing? Kevin Owens, I very much know he can be excellent if booked seriously.
Yeah, and he is a bona fide main event star, which is why I'm excited about this. He could quite easily be, if they're not going to give him the WWE title, then he could quite easily be the next challenger for Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm.
After that, we got Finn Balor versus Rey Mysterio. I thought this was a great match.
Yeah, well, we had Finn coming out first and saying, "I'm not scared because fear isn't real." And then he said Rey Mysterio is going to find out that I am fear, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it is. He's
No, he said fear's not real, and I'm fear, which means that I'm not real.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't make it. Oh, whatever. It's fine. I still don't like Finn in trousers. I think it looks weird. but it's going to be Damian Priest versus Edge next week was also announced during this.
In Toronto, which is Edge's. Is he from there? Canada.
He's from Canada.
It's Canada. So Priest Poses. Said he's going to beat him in his hometown.
Ooh. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that.
What, Priest winning?
Yeah, Priest going over. It's like MJF beating Punk in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I think Edge is like... Edge feels now like the sort of head of the Mysterio family. And therefore, he won't lose to the second in command.
Yeah. This was a really good match. It started off slow, but I thought in a nice way. It was building. It went through, I think, a couple of commercial breaks. Edge, I mean, you know, it's Rey and Balor. They work terrifically together. And you've got this extra drama with Priest at ringside. Yep. Edge runs down at one point because Priest was getting involved and Dominic had stormed off, so he wasn't going to help. Edge and Priest brawl off into the crowd. And then just as Rey is about to win... Rhea Ripley walks onto the top of the stage with Dominic.
Floppy Dominic on his shoulder.
The floppiest of Dom.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he was, not floppy everywhere.
No.
He had little smears of blood over him, which, you know, blood.
Yeah.
Didn't look real, but it was blood.
No, and they haven't black and whited those photos.
A torn shirt. Yeah. And that was enough for Rey to get distracted.
A ball gag in his mouth.
Screaming mummy.
He had a whip, yeah.
And Balor got the win. So, Dom, as I said, Dom is actually sub.
Dom is actually sub. Yeah, no, it was a good match. I like that Rhea Ripley is kind of... It feels like a weird to say, but that is, she is able to beat up men.
She's the most intimidating person in this feud.
Yeah, easily.
What makes me really excited whenever I see Ripley in this stuff is when they finally pull the trigger to enter her into a women's title feud.
Mm.
It's going to... It's like, that's a serious threat to Bianca.
But do we think it's going to be Edge versus Balor at Clash at the Clash? Luke! Luke keeps saying Clash of Clans. We know it's not, but it's in my head.
I think that makes most sense.
Because we've got Balor on a UK show. He's Irish, but that counts as the UK with WWE. So,
but I also think Dominic is going to turn somewhere.
Mm.
So I don't know how that plays into it.
I think
we've
so
that
too.
Forever.
No, I think so too. And I think this is him going like, I can't believe you're trusting your friend over your son.
Yeah.
And that felt like a real kind of, oh, okay, it's coming.
After that, we got the first match in the vacant women's tag team title tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write down all the teams here, but the first match was Dakota Kai and Io Sky, versus Dana Brooke and Tamina.
I mean, can you think of a less charismatic team in all of wrestling?
It's a new day. Yes, it is. Let's give everybody a chance.
Yes, but it's not Tamina.
So everybody gets a chance. I'm all behind this. But actually, I think there's an argument to not give everybody a chance.
This tournament did not need 8 teams. This could have been a 4-team tournament.
I suppose if you're trying to fill numbers. But if you're doing for the first match... Not just the first match of the tournament, but the first match with Sky and Kai together. Like, they need to just run through a team, look really impressive. But what we got was, you know, a 5-10 minute actually relatively competitive match.
I honestly don't think there is anything that either Dana Brooke or Tamina could do or could be booked to do that would make me excited for anything they do.
Yeah.
Because Dana Brooke seems to think that doing a handspring is a personality trait because that's all she does. And Tamina is just like, oh, it's Tamina, isn't it? She's been here for a while. Mm. And she is...
And Natalia argument.
She is strong. She has the worst frog splash of any human.
Yeah, I don't enjoy watching them wrestle.
No.
But at the same time, like, even if I put that to one side, they have been booked... genuine. This is literal. They have been booked as jokes.
Yes.
They are the punchline of every episode of Raw for the last year. So I thought this was not a good idea. Bayley even had to kind of get involved to lead to the finish.
Yeah.
I think this would have been far, far better if Sky and Kai just won really quickly. Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. Dakota Kai's feet have a PhD, apparently, which is something.
But it is what it is.
Yes.
KO then got his promo backstage, which we've already covered. He was wearing a Dusty Rhodes shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a direct NXT reference. Then we got Bobby Lashley versus Tommaso Ciampa.
No.
Ciampa, sorry. Which I was, as soon as that came up, I was like, oh no, it's not the main event.
So it's not going to be a title
It's not going to be a title
change. That was your bet last week.
But even then, it should have been the main event.
Yeah.
Like, I know you had the Dexter stuff, but surely you could get the Dexter stuff in Bobby Lashley retaining.
Yeah. No, but to be honest... The fact that it wasn't the main event made me sort of assume that Bobby was winning. But actually, I thought this was probably my favourite match on the card because there was enough in there. Like, yes, Miz got involved and kind of put Ciampa's leg on the rope, but actually Ciampa got a lot of offense in.
Yeah, he looked great.
Several near falls. And with the kind of when the exposed turnbuckle with the whack in his head and then the knee and everything, there were I didn't think he was gonna win, but there was enough to show that Tommaso Ciampa is gonna be around in the upper mid card scene for a while to come.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, AJ chased off Miz, and that's what set up the main event. It was a great match, and all the stuff I said last week about Ciampa, he should win, and that's like a big Triple H stamp on the new regime because Bobby Lashley was such a Vince guy, Ciampa is such a Triple H guy, then we can have like a feud with Gargano over the US title. After this match was over, that should not have happened.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley retaining was the right thing. Even making Ciampa tap in the Hurt Lock, which is what happened.
Well, they're also they've done that for the second week in a row, they've done that promo video for the US titles. They are really positioning this as This is the title that everyone on Raw now wants.
I don't like when Triple H took over. I thought, boom, reset. Everyone is just going to get immediately booked the way they should do. But actually, that's a terrible idea. And you have a Bobby Lashley is so over.
Yeah.
As the US champion, do you remember like those reactions he was getting at SummerSlam? That they followed him around. I'm so happy for him. And he is a genuine star.
It was
Ciampa, as much as I love him, has not been presented that way enough for the audience to buy him. And if he beat Lashley here, that would have prompted a bit of a reaction to casual mainstream fans.
But I mean, but like you say, Bobby Lashley was one of few people who actually got this crowd excited. And another one was, I thought, Bianca Belair's reception was massive. Mm-hmm. But he is... I would say the biggest, I don't know if he's the biggest name you could put the title, I mean, because you could have Seth Rollins or someone like that, but as a kind of dominant champion, he's really the only choice right now, I think, for a babyface to come along and to beat him.
No Randy Orton, no Cody Rhodes, no Roman Reigns. Who are the actual stars on Raw?
Yeah.
It's Seth Rollins, it's Bobby Lashley, Becky Lynch is injured. It's Bianca Belair.
It's going to take weeks now to build up someone like Kevin Owens to feel like he can
Kevin
actually
Owens
challenge
as well.
For it.
Yeah. But yeah, this was a really good match. I thought Ciampa looked great off the back of it. Bobby Lashley looked really good as well.
Yeah.
Like, he kept kicking out at the end, and it wasn't like a frustrating, oh, they're booking him too strong way. It was really, really genuinely dramatic.
And
so very good.
Ciampa was a smart kind of smart heel as well.
Yes. Sucks for Harley Race.
Yes. Omos.
Omos and MVP were shown backstage. Miz and AJ were brawling backstage. And then we got Omos coming out, and he beat two jobbers in a two-on-one handicap match.
Andrea something and Spencer Spencer something.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care about Omos. Honestly, I'd rather he wasn't on the show at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him not to have a job, but yeah. I don't think he fits on this show.
That doesn't work in the ring. He's not getting over for me. It's been a year and a half now.
Yeah. Be an enforcer.
Yeah.
If anything.
But yeah, this was the first appearance of him in the Triple H regime. There was a lot of question marks over what about these traditionally Vince guys, these Vince projects, what's going to happen to them? Turns out, exactly the same thing.
Yes. Well, there was a report this week from Sean again that stars like Omos are having meetings one-on-one with Triple H to kind of go through, look, I know you're on TV a lot with Vince, but it is me now, but this is what I'm sort of imagining with you. And I guess it was just, do you want to do what you were doing before?
I read quite a nice, I think it was a comment on one of our videos today. And yeah, I don't want to get sucked into fantasy booking again, but give Omos a few weeks of wins, then have him go up against Dijak. Rebranded, you know,
yes.
The T-Bar rebranded, and then Dijak beats him and presses him over his head, or that's something ridiculous.
Well, like there was the report yesterday, wasn't it, that there are talks of rebranding Slap Twat. What was his name? No, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's it.
He's not Slapjack, is he?
No, he's T-Bar.
Yeah, he's T-Bar.
Slapjack was
Shane Thorne.
Yeah, Shane Thorne.
Yeah,
then
Mace,
you had Mace.
Is still Massey, or whatever.
And Reckoning
was Mia Yim, and Retribution was Mercedes Martinez.
Yes.
And Mustafa Ali was Mustafa Ali.
And the faction was called
Retribution.
No, someone wasn't called Retribution.
Oh no,
in the faction.
She was Retaliation. She was Retaliation. Sorry.
Well, what's your first album called?
Yeah. Retaliation.
Retaliation also. Retribution. Jesus Christ. Seth Rollins did a interview with Kevin Patrick backstage because they announced for next week an exclusive Riddle interview. I like this.
Seth Rollins really knows how annoying that is. Yeah. He does it a lot.
Seth said, I don't care about the Riddle interview. I'm done with Riddle. And Riddle is only good at flushing his potential down the toilet. Yeah. Just ask Dana White, UFC guy.
Yeah, and he's just going to come back and say bro and man and dude and stuff.
Did some good impressions of Riddle. Yeah. I thought this was a very good promo, and I like how they're pacing out this Seth Riddle feud.
Yeah.
If you take it from SummerSlam when they had that angle, the Street Profits matches who are friends with Riddle and Seth beats them, and there's the Street Profits have their own thing going on. There's a Riddle interview next week. And Riddle isn't injured. This isn't something forced upon them.
Yeah.
Someone is actually being kept out to sell an injury. I really like this.
Yeah, really good.
Chad Gable then took on hometown boy Dolph Ziggler, although I do think he was billed from Hollywood.
Yeah, but he's not.
He is from Cleveland.
Yes.
But he hails from Hollywood now.
Yeah, which is dumb. Why wouldn't you? You should probably announce. Like, everyone in the crowd knows.
Yeah.
But you should probably get that pop of, from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah. No, it was fine. It was a lot of technical wrestling, quick technical wrestling, which is what I prefer. I mean, you can't, not the kind of crap stuff that Zack Sabre Jr. does.
I don't mean that.
But it was fine. Gable got 85% of it, and then Ziggler won with a super kick.
Yeah, this was a fine match, but this was what I really liked about the two episodes we've had of Raw so far. Pretty much all the matches felt like they had something proper on the line. There were stakes to it.
Mm.
This just didn't do anything
and
for me.
And if you want to give Ziggler a win in his hometown, don't just feed him Chad Gable, because Chad Gable is better than that.
Yeah, I didn't think this was... Because after the Lashley-Ciampa match, which was sort of at the end of the second hour...
Mm.
Was a boring last hour. It's like, well, what's happening now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting that Miz AJ match. There's the Omos squash. eesh, you know, I thought it was pretty poor for a final bit. But then you got the Loomis stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, the main event was Miz versus AJ, no DQ match. Not really much happened. It wasn't a great match. It
wasn't really a no DQ. It sort of felt like a bit like, oh, well, referee won't kind of disqualify you for weapons, but it was a bit tame.
It was mostly kendo sticks, and Miz threw a chair at AJ's phenomenal
forearm.
That
was cool.
Which did look cool.
I liked that.
And Ciampa got Ciampa pushed through a table.
But I can't buy the Miz in a no DQ match because his, like, even his kendo stick hits just look like he's not trying to hurt you.
I thought if they were going to do this, you needed to have a crazy fun, bonkers, hardcore match. Not with loads of blood and stuff, but a bunch of stupid spots.
Yeah. No, there was the,
I know with the Loomis reveal, that would have not worked with that. But in that case, make Lashley and Ciampa the main event of the show.
Yeah, and there was like AJ being thrown over. That was quite cool. off the table into the crowd and stuff. That was fun. But
oh yeah, that
this
was
didn't
big.
Feel like a main event because I cared a lot more about Ciampa. And if Ciampa had lost, but you'd made it the main event, I would have been not much more excited about it. Whereas this just kind of, I feel like this would have been better placed as well, kind of midway through the show to kind of get people perked up, a few weapons, tables.
But despite all that, the Loomis thing happened. I was confused. Then I went online, realized what happened, and was incredibly excited by the whole show. So overall, I gave this a 75%.
I would have given it, on your scale, probably a 68.
Yeah. We're not far off.
Or a 70. Something around that.
I gave it a 3.6, and you're giving it a 3.5.
I would have given it 3.4, 3.5.
Let's have a vote. I don't know if we've got the functionality to do that, but if you can put up a poll in the chat and everyone can have their opinions as well, I imagine we'll get 4 out of 4 because it's Triple H.
Yes, yes. We do still like Triple H and we're still very excited for what he's going to do. But I think it's going to take a lot more time than anyone's probably suggesting.
And it's important to remember NXT, Black and Gold, as great as the takeovers were, a lot of the TV was quite boring's not the right word, but it was
standard.
Mostly just standard. But like someone said earlier, hey, if this is the standard, that's fine by me.
Yes,
because the standard before was like 40%, and an amazing show would be something that mildly hopped over the expectations.
Yes.
Before we get on with your Ultra Chats, let's just say thank you to our wonderful $25 Pledge Hammers on Patreon. Is that the music I hear?
It is.
Thank you. Oh, hi, that Danish Mark.
Shield Maiden, the Zornice.
Will, the MS Warrior Stuart.
Brackets, insert here to AW confirmed.
Hiran. Aaron Ahamran.
Smitten, Aaron Smith.
The Baker, Adam Cakebread.
Is that a real name? The Machine Gun, Alex Anderson.
The True Alpha Wolf.
Not Eugene, Andrew Dinsmore.
Arian Schifra, The Boozer Waits.
And finally, the Shrockmaster, Austin Shrock.
Thank you very much, everybody. If you want your own shout-out, go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk. There's loads of bonus things on there. Loads of exclusive podcasts, and we're recording a new one tomorrow. The first episode of Wrestle Talk Behind the Scenes. So not just a chat about what we're into, but the inner workings of Wrestle Talk. It's going to be me, Luke, Tempest, and Pete. And we'll probably talk about getting Tempest over to the UK.
Is it a revolving cast? Because that does sound like fun.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
And is the music still playing? And the music. Right, your Ultra Chats, last call for those, wrestletalk.com/support. Start Recording says, "Hey guys, two questions for you. Do you think we'll see the return of Dijakovic? I think the Feast Your Eyes thing would get over with the main roster crowds. Also, do you think Tegan Knox could show up at Clash at the Castle if she's not signed anywhere else?"
I think that's a fantastic idea to bring back Tegan Knox, because she is actually Welsh and it is in Wales. So I think that could really, really work for... I don't know how much of the crowd will actually be Welsh, but there will be...
Tegan Knox.
Yes.
I think you'll have a lot of British wrestling fans who would have seen her in what culture.
I think it would be smart to bring Tegan Knox back, and I think it'd be great. It'd be perfect for her as well, because it'd put her so over in her first match or return.
And we've already covered Dijakovic, we think. Yes. Start Recording again. One possible match I'm very, very hyped for is Bobby Lashley versus Gunther. Oh, yes. Do you think they'll both be champions by Survivor Series so they could do a champion versus champion match?
I hope so.
Oh, my
God. That would be beefy.
Yes.
Meaty.
Yeah, usually I don't like champion versus, but that's genuinely one I want to see.
Yeah.
Matt Hennessy. I really liked last night's Raw, and while he didn't return, there were several references made to Gargano. In the US title match, Ciampa put on the Gargano escape, and Corey said, if you want something done, do it yourself, aka DIY.
Yes. This is less subtle, but it's still okay, because I think everyone knows it's almost certainly going to happen, but I don't think anyone knows when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is good.
We're ready. Matt Hennessy again. WWE are giving Gargano the Cody treatment, where they tease and reference him, with Sean Ross Sapp breaking the news that HBK was tasked with contacting Johnny for a WWE return, and WWE teasing it similar to how they did with Cody. I think he has re-signed with WWE.
He may well have done, and I think it really is a matter of time. I think he's the sort of person you would bring back during a pay-per-view show, a premium live event. I just don't know which one you would bring back at.
Or the show after the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So maybe the Raw after Clash at the Castle. Mm. Because you're going to have if I've got my WWE Triple H hat on, All Out is on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be an excellent show. I want to steal as much thunder from them as possible, as soon as possible.
Yes.
So bring in Gargano on Monday night, and all of a sudden,
good idea.
That's what people are talking about.
Yep.
Clint Devlin, going to book another return. Amos goes on having some quick squash matches for a few weeks. After one of them, MVP calls Amos the biggest monster in wrestling. Cue the WWE return of Bronson Reed, Jonah, or Braun Strowman to squash Amos.
I think Strowman's probably more likely.
Jonah's in the G1.
Jonah
right
Reed
now.
is a big bloke, as in like muscly and kind of he's got that size.
Stocky too. Size.
I don't think he's particularly tall.
No.
I think it would look like I'm not sure it would work as him being the biggest monster. Like he can just be an effective kind of mid card monster, but I can't see him being a guy to beat Momos.
I think Jonah is also with New Japan, it seems,
for
quite a while, whereas Braun Strowman is a free agent. Nathan Portwoman.
He's controlling his narrative.
Oh, that's a good point. Watched Raw for the first time in 2 years. Don't think it was worth missing my reruns of Justice League Unlimited. Great wrestling, not worth 3 hours of my time. The third hour is killer. Dana must worship the many-faced god. Have a great Tuesday, guys. Riot DR. I must ask, now that the Is He Elias joke over, does Ezekiel do anything for you? He's in shape, wears Lex Luger's gear, and has a sweet top rope elbow drop. But who is he? Ergo, his sacrifice to re-energize Kevin Owens' character is most welcome.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with it with Ezekiel / Elias now. He's been a perfectly competent wrestler. He's never been someone who's excited me in the ring. So he's always been a character wrestler for me, but I don't know what they're going to do with him.
But at least his Drifter persona, his Elias persona, had the really good gimmick of the guitar and... all that. Whereas Ezekiel's character is a one joke thing.
Yeah.
And the joke has now been told.
Yeah. I honestly wouldn't mind if they just went, Elias is back.
Yeah.
And everyone went, and he just was like, oh man, I'm so sorry, I've been lost for so long. Anything happened while I was away? And then you just have him turn up one day and just crap on the crowd, which is what he's best at, and then get beaten up.
I can't even remember. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah.
And he just does that. And he sings a song about his brother getting beaten up. Yeah. And he never liked him.
Yeah.
And now he's here to kick some ass.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Right. The Dominic Mysterio, Theory, and Bron Breakker were all born in the same year. Wow. From what I am witnessing, NXT does wonders. Dom needs to figure out who he is other than just Rey Mysterio's kid. By the way, totally knew Rhea would wreck him after his tantrum.
I also think he needs to work on just the way he presents himself. I don't think Dom has a very good look, almost. I know it's quite sort of shallow of me to say that, but I don't think he looks like a pro wrestler right now. He's got quite a pudding baby face, sort of baby face.
Oh, and baby faces have historically done nothing in wrestling, have they?
But people with an actual baby face.
Yeah.
He looks like a big child. Mm. And I think there's something needs to change with his just general presentation.
Well, if he becomes goth teenager
mm-hmm.
and joins Judgment Day, maybe that will do it.
Possibly.
Finn Brennan, I think I might start watching WWE again. I'm excited about the future for once. See you guys in London next month. Love, the Findicator.
Yes.
Of course. A Clash at the Castle. We are hosting a live watch-along party in London.
That sounds fun.
The link is in the video description below. Go get your tickets now. They're selling fast.
They are selling
We've
fast.
We've already sold over half of them.
Mm.
So very exciting. I'll hot tag to you for the remainder.
So the final five for now. Charles Berg says, so one time I was given the compliment of, oh, you're actually pretty handsome. That was the worst compliment I've ever received. But that, of course, was until Andy, sweet, rare, lucid Andy, gave me the compliment of, you're a soda mountain. I did say that.
What does that mean?
Well, Berg is Swedish for, or berg is Swedish for mountain. Charles, why did I say soda mountain? Well, yeah, I'm glad that I could help. But I honestly cannot remember why.
Charles continues.
Oh, I think it's only fair that I give you a bad compliment. Don't you agree? Wait for Andy to say something. It doesn't matter if you agree. Andy is very trustworthy and good person, but it's not because of his weak body or poor posture. He's just kind. I do have a terrible posture. My physio keeps straightening me up. Ollie Rainbow Snack says, Ollie, I made the same joke you made about Dominic in the Discord server a few days ago, and multiple people shamed me for the horniness. Ironically, this was while people were expressing big
just
feelings for Rhea Ripley sharing pictures of that pin.
What was it? Yeah, I'm just making a silly, sexy joke.
Which pin was it?
I don't know.
Did she sit on someone's face or something? Benjamin Gabriel has been a member for 5 months in a row. So, Ollie, are you still happy with the punishment?
I think the punishment's worked out pretty well, having to review Raw.
Yeah,
this is.
For now.
I mean, to be honest, like I said, this was quite a boring episode. But I am really curious.
And O2 Tenker says, who are we? Andy fans. What do we like? Puns. How are we called? Fandies. Looks like I'll go back to watching Raw so that I can be in awe. Well, if you want to watch me, don't keep watching Raw because this is my last one.
Yeah, Luke's back from holiday tomorrow. But thank you very much for joining.
You're welcome.
The Raw review and helping me in this punishment. Oh, it's been so tough.
Yes, a punishment that I personally gave you.
But yes, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you ever so much for all your Ultra Chats, everybody, and for watching Raw with us. It's pretty good these days. Go over to the link in the video description below to check out how you can get tickets.
Don't forget the poll results.
Don't forget the poll results. What is the poll result?
3 out of 4 has been given 66%.
And 4 out of 4?
21%. And 1 out of 4 in the end, 1%.
So 3 out of 4 was the winner of the polls, yes. But thank you, everybody. Yes, click the link in the video description below to check out how you can get tickets for our Clash at the Castle live watch-along party. We'll all be there. But for now, jam that jam.
Jam that jam.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.